Hello and welcome to Take Me to Eternity, where I filter what is being pushed in the church through the Word of God. I show biblical truth and I attempt to expose the lies that are being accepted amongst fellow believers. My name's Leah Fiore Tracy, and this is the second episode of The Kundalini. In the last episode, I was talking about the Kundalini. We defined a lot of terms. We talked about what the manifestation of the Holy Spirit looks like, and the fruit of that, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. They are all so important when we look at how a spirit is going to manifest. If we don't see these things in the life of a believer, then there's an issue. We see in the Bible how people who had the Holy Spirit talked and acted and what it looked like to walk being Holy Spirit filled. With meekness, humbleness, not boasting or being self-seeking. It wasn't self-promotion. There was no using God's power for earthly gain or demanding of God. No binding and rebuking of Satan or expecting God to do as they wanted. We don't see the decreeing and declaring as we see in a lot of groups these days. In this episode, we are going to look into more of what we see in the church today that looks less like the Holy Spirit and more like the Kundalini. We will look at what people call being baptized in the Holy Spirit and what's said to be baptized in fire. People say to be baptized in the Holy Spirit or baptized in fire is separate from regular baptism, but the Bible says there's only one baptism and that all believers have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. It doesn't separate the two. It also doesn't tell us we need to be baptized in fire. Not everybody has the same fruit as some are claiming upon salvation or baptism, that is with speaking in tongues and convulsions. This is what getting a Kundalini manifestation looks like actually, not what a spirit-filled believer looks like. We will look at what people say about getting hit by the Spirit, getting hit by that thing, and so forth as we go. One thing that I want to do is establish that what a lot of people are doing and saying in this so-called church is another spirit entirely. I will show you this by their words, teachings, and actions, i.e. their fruit. What I see from a lot of people, some of which call themselves apostles and prophets, is described in 2 Corinthians 11:12 through 15. But what I am doing, I will continue to do, so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded, just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. There is a lot of boasting from people calling themselves apostles and prophets. You look at them and they talk more about themselves than they do about Jesus. When they do talk about Jesus, it's to bring glory to themselves as they say, "All glory be to Jesus." They don't look like someone with the fruit of the Spirit because they don't talk like the Spirit of God would. They contradict what the Word says. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. And that is what we as believers ought to be doing also, not to self. These people look more like Satan's minions, disguised as God's people, than they do filled with the Holy Spirit. I say this because they do things that are contrary to what Scripture plainly says. They spend their time talking about trips to heaven, encounters with angels, and talking to demons. They do this more than talking about actual Scripture. And when they do use Scripture, they twist it. And most times they just use small portions of it, half verses. There are people who saw heaven in Scripture, and just like everything else, they were very careful as to what they could or could not say. They were very reverent in their speech and absolutely in awe of God as they spoke about it. It was extremely rare, and there was no boasting about it, no talking about Santa Claus and Mickey Mouse in heaven, or how humans are co-eternal with God. I really think that this spirit is just an impure spirit that some call the Kundalini, and unfortunately is being said to be God's spirit. There was a guy that I was listening to while I was researching this, who said he had his Kundalini awakening. He spoke of the dangers of it, the problems it caused, and how much everyone should try to awaken it. Sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? He said you can call it Kundalini, but Christians call it the Holy Spirit. Even pagans recognize the similarities between what people are doing in the so-called church and what pagans do. People are deceived by the things they want. They believe the lies that they want to be true in so many cases. With yoga, it's the promise of healing, power, and strength. The Kundalini promises extraordinary gifts or talents, similar to the extraordinary gifts of the spirit. Satan does that. He likes making cheap knockoffs of what God does, trying to act like God. According to 2 Corinthians 11, 12-15, Satan and his servants will disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. They will look loving and kind and good. They will say the thing that sounds right or almost right, or entice you with what you want to hear. Scratch your itching ears. We need to be careful when dealing with spirits, and that means everyone. They may disguise themselves as God's people. They might disguise themselves as Jesus or the Spirit of God. We see that in the New Age a lot. People talking about spirits who say they are Jesus, or witches calling themselves Christian witches or good witches. We've been desensitized to that, haven't we, in movies and music and TV shows? So often, they twist scripture or make it say something it isn't saying, using a half of a verse completely out of context, just like Satan did, or making doctrines contrary to scripture. Bill Johnson says he refuses to create a theology that allows for sickness. Does he have the ability to create theology? We see in scripture that God didn't always heal people. It isn't always his will for people to be healed, and in fact, Jesus walked away from whole groups who wanted healing, and he went and prayed or taught his disciples. Galatians 1:6-9 says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he's to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. This goes for all the people who say that they hear from angels, and what they are saying contradicts scripture. This goes for all the people who say that they're hearing from Jesus Christ. He came into their bathroom and told them this thing that isn't true. We have so many false prophets speaking and proclaiming and decreeing and declaring things that don't come true, that aren't according to scripture, and yet people continue to listen to them. When Paul asked for the thorn in his side to be removed, Jesus said that his grace was sufficient and that power is perfected in weakness. We have to be aware that that in and of itself is fruit. It shows the spirit that's in them. If they are willing to speak about scripture flippantly or say that they have some new way of viewing it, that's not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to remembrance scripture. He is the one who inspired the scripture, and he will not contradict himself. We know that he is the one who convicts and the one who testifies to truth, and any true prophecy that comes from God is going to come from the same Holy Spirit. It's going to correlate exactly with everything he's already said and taught. We look at people calling themselves Reformed these days, and though there was an actual Reformation that brought things back to scripture, there are people who are claiming to be reformers who are saying that everything is coming back, that God's bringing back truths that got lost, and it is a Gnostic view. It really is. It's not an actual reformation. It's not going back to scripture and going back to the truth of what our church fathers taught. It is changing things and manipulating it, and trying to say that their prophecies their words of knowledge, their things that are coming out of their own minds and hearts surpass scripture in certain ways, and it's not okay. Revelation, tongues, signs, gifts, healings, they are all part of what people are striving for with a Kundalini awakening. Mormons strive after these things, the New Age, witches, but as Christians, we don't need to strive for them. God has given us the perfect revelation. The prophecies in the Bible are amazing. To be prophetic and to speak prophecies is just to read scripture and read what God's already said. If you love scripture, then you don't despise prophecies. We just can't sit there and listen to every person who spouts off that they are saying things in the name of God and act like it's actually from God saying this. We need to test every spirit. And the Bible talks about people prophesying and everybody else testing it to see if it's true or not. We don't need more revelations. We need to test everyone who speaks these new revelations against scripture and be willing to mark and avoid those who speak contrary or act contrary to what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that also means to take every experience that we have, supernatural experiences, and weigh them to what scripture shows us it looks like. This new revelation thing is really hurting people because they view this new interpretation that distorts what the Bible says as higher authority than the Bible itself. It is the Bible progressing, and the Bible's not progressive. The Bible is what it is. God doesn't change. He has told us, therefore it is. The Bible says that spirits exist. It says that they can come tell us things and that they can deceive us. It says that there are evil spirits and that we aren't supposed to do the things to interact with them, especially listening to them if they are contradicting the word or in any way leading us away from the true God. Jesus Christ has shown to us in Scripture. That's how we are to know Him. The Gospel is shown in Scripture. That's how we know what saves us, who saves us, how we're saved. If a revelation or spirit distorts, that is to be tossed aside, and the person is not to be listened to. Yet so many people in the church, or so-called churches, promote seeking experience with angels. They hold up these encounters and filter scripture through their encounter, instead of filtering the encounter through scripture like we're told to. They say don't put God in a box when you point back to scripture, or don't idolize scripture, or you aren't saved by scripture. You're saved by God, which, I mean, those are all partial truths, right? You need to have a relationship with God, and that requires to be in the Word and understand who He is and what He wants from us. That's why He gave it to us. They say you need to have a relationship, and that requires, at least to them, new revelation just for you, or else you don't have a good, mature relationship with God, and that is not what we see throughout Scripture. That isn't what we are told in order to be saved or how to have a good relationship with God. That isn't what it looks like in the Bible. The people who talked to angels didn't go looking for it, and they didn't walk around telling everybody about it. And when they spoke and they spoke and preached Christ crucified. They didn't talk about themselves. It was rare when it happened, too. People didn't go having long talks in heaven with God. Jesus didn't randomly show up and chit-chat with them, though that's exactly what they're claiming. Matthew 24:23-27 says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him, for false Christs and false prophets will arise, and will show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, he's in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." These encounters always remind me of this verse. I'm not sure why we're supposed to believe all of these stories about Jesus are real. Like he's just going around ducking into people's bedrooms and bathrooms to talk to him on the regular. People who take God's glory for themselves and disregard his word for their own. Trying to conjure a spirit or talk to a spirit is abominable to God. I think going into worship for an experience is a horrible thing also. It isn't glorifying to God. It's looking for a sign. When we worship, we are supposed to be worshiping him. We're not supposed to be trying to get something for ourselves. It's seeking fleshly desires over worshiping him when we do that. So often, people leave the faith because the presence of God can't be felt. But it isn't about feelings. It isn't about glory clouds or prophetic words spoken over you. It isn't about being slain in the spirit or drunk in the spirit. It's about knowing and trusting and waiting. Faith, you know, faith for what we are hoping for, knowing that God is who he says he is. Being patient before the Lord, knowing that he's there no matter what our flesh tells us. It's about glorifying him and enjoying him forever. The Holy Spirit is who gives us our spiritual gifts, and he does it as he sees fit. Not everyone will get the same gifts, and though we should want to do God's will, and therefore have any gift he wants to give us, it's all for his glory and the helping of others. It's all from God, and being a gift, it isn't earned or learned or found or bought. Yet we have prophetic classes, learning how to speak God's thoughts after him, which is actually people just speaking their own thoughts and saying it's God's. There's classes to activate an anointing or gift. This is all striving for something that isn't ours to covet, and it really turns out to be legalism because you're depending on yourself. Your hope is in yourself. You are striving and doing, and it's a never-ending searching for more experience, signs, wonders, power. You can't soak up someone else's anointing or gift after they die. What some call a calling or a mantle. Yet we have people practicing grave soaking or grave sucking, whatever you want to call it, trying to absorb leftover energy and anointing from someone who came before them. That sounds so pagan to me. Yet the same so-called spirit-filled believers say they manifest in signs and wonders all the time, with dead-raising groups who claim to raise the dead, deliverance groups who claim to deliver people from demons, and saying that the Christian life looks like healing people wherever you go, prophesying over them and speaking in tongues. That's not what the normal Christian life looks like. It wasn't in biblical times, and it isn't now. They teach that to prophesy, all you have to do is say whatever comes into your mind. You're speaking God's word after him. That's how Bethel teaches people to prophesy, and they say that they encourage people to get it wrong. But in the Bible, in the Old Testament, when someone spoke from God, if they said God says and it didn't come true, you knew they were a false prophet, and in the Old Testament they were killed. That's pretty hardcore. And nowhere in the New Testament do they say, it's okay if you get it wrong now. We're told if it does come true, but they lead you away from God, we're still to disregard them. That means that people can get things right and still be false teachers or false prophets. This is what the spirit looks like going through a large number of so-called churches. You see pastors, prophets, and apostles laying hands on people and people falling to the floor laughing in hysterics. They roll around screaming as if they were set on fire, crawling on all fours, barking like dogs. This spirit that they say they're imparting causes people to act drunk and shake violently, while they say God's speaking through them. There are so many churches that do all of these things, and people continuously think that I'm crazy, that I'm just making things up, or I'm taking things out of context. But when you watch these things, it's really hard because this is not okay. This isn't of God, and we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit, which has self-control in there. And that's not what they're showing us. When you look at different religions, it's identical. So much so that I've seen people making videos with side-by-side footage, and you can't tell the difference. What is the one called holy, and what is the one called the Kundalini? You can't tell which one is which. And I'm talking about people crawling on the floor, barking like dogs, rolling around, laughing hysterically. It's pretty bad. When Simon the magician tried to buy the ability to impart the Holy Spirit, he was rebuked and condemned. Yet we have large groups selling seminars and classes on how to impart the Spirit on people, or gifts, or how to activate the Spirit. Think about that. Christians having spirit activation courses, just like taking yoga classes from a guru. Where are we told in scripture you need to activate the spirit? And in yoga it says they're there to activate a spirit. I mean, if you know about yoga, as you know, if you've listened to any of the things that I have talked about yoga, you will understand that that's what they're there for. They're trying to activate a spirit. And it's called the Kundalini. These same people are snake oil salesmen, selling anointed oils, clothing, jewelry, and artwork. In the Bible, there was no apostle training course or school to learn the supernatural. There were no prophetic classes, no New Testament guidelines for the Holy Spirit activation classes. He's a gift from God. He's the third person of the Trinity, and he does as he wills. So we can expect God to give us good gifts for free and also equip us to use them. That's what the Bible says. He will equip us for every good work. And that's at his will and in his time. Scripture tells us the fruit of the Spirit and shows us what it looks like to be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can spot the fake, so we can see that this is not of God or it is of God. Bill Johnson of Bethel Reading and Chris Valaton helped write a book on the physics of heaven. The description in the Bethel store is, "Read what some of the most beloved leaders in the Christian charismatic movement have to say as they explore the mysteries of God hidden in sound, light, vibrations, frequencies, energy, and quantum physics." Contributors include Bill and Benny Johnson, Bob Jones, Larry Randolph, Ray Hughes, Cal Pierce, Dan McCollum, Jonathan Welton, and David Von Covering. And they share their insights into how God may use these different expressions of creation to usher us into the fullness of Pentecost. These concepts of sound, light, vibrations, energy, and frequencies are all Eastern philosophical ideas. They're spoken about a lot in Eastern religions and very widely spread amongst New Age groups. And Pentecost already happened in all of its fullness. Where in the Bible does it talk about God being the God of vibrations or being on God's frequency? We don't need to learn to hear God, get on his frequency, or learn to hear his voice better. If God speaks to us, we will know he has spoken. If we needed to know how to hear him better, we would have been told how to do that in the Bible. Yet Eastern religions strive after a deeper connection to a God, an energy, a spirit, and it's all about striving to learn how to hear it, learn how to feel it, learn how to be it. We don't have to strive for that, because as believers, we have the ultimate connection. To know him better, we study his word, we pray, we treasure his word, and we follow his word. The names of the chapters kind of give it away too. We have Vibrating in Harmony, Good Vibrations, Sound of Heaven, The God of Vibration, Quantum Mysticism. These are all New Age concepts that have been twisted with Christianese and verses taken out of context. Taking the Bible and changing what it means or says isn't the fruit of the Spirit. That's exactly what Satan does. Let's look at some of the things that people are saying. Heidi Baker says she got to go to the body part room in heaven, and God said she could take whatever parts she wants to heal people. Later, she changed her story. She said that she had to ask or she would never sleep for body parts. These people, because they say that they heal everyone all the time, they just make this stuff up and it's absolutely bizarre. And then you hear them change what they have already said, and it's like, did God speak or did he not speak? Because if he spoke, then he's not going to change his mind. In another video, she touches two girls and they're on the floor writhing. just rolling around writhing. And she says, I know it hurts, but it's holy. To girls writhing on the ground as if they're in pain. I know it hurts, but it's holy. Where do we see this in Scripture? Scripture shows us how beautiful and peace-filled it is to be indwelt by God. And the only thing we see that has people writhing as if in pain from a spirit was demonic. It was all demon possession. I've watched a lot of Heidi Baker's videos, unfortunately, and I've never actually seen her preach the gospel. It's always her rolling on the ground laughing or imparting something on someone and them rolling on the floor laughing or screaming, or her talking about all the things that she does or has done. It's always about her. It's always about experience. It's not about God. In other videos, she's saying impartation or legacy over and over again, and more, Lord. She babbles and calls it tongues, saying Shaka Baba. She has uncontrolled twitches and bursts of sound where she says, whoa, or she just grunts. In Hindu texts, that's called a Kriya. There's a video where she touches a young man's head, and this is at Bethel, and he falls on the ground, and for the rest of the video, he is rolling on the floor screaming. And when I say screaming, I mean screaming. It's heart-wrenching to watch it, to listen to it. The sounds that he makes, it sounds like he's being tortured. She keeps looking at him, people kind of like somewhat pay attention to him. And she keeps saying fire. And then she looks at him and says, I think he's got it. What does he have? Where is the peace or the joy or the self-control? Where are the fruit of the Spirit in that? His scream reminds me of that scene from The Princess Bride when Count Rogan tries to suck the life out of Wesley and he puts the machine up to 50. If you've seen that, that part always gets me because of the scream. It's meant to be that way. They totally did it on purpose, you know? But it's just a scream of absolute agony. And it reminds me of that, though it's definitely worse when you listen to this boy. Heidi is seen on many occasions on stage, unable to get up or speak, like she's drunk. She can't hold on to the podium, she can't get up. What happened to the self-control, and how is this edifying anybody? She said one time, when she got hit with Holy Spirit, her husband had to carry her around for days, and that at one point she was swimming on the floor like a fish. I'm saying all of this because I want people to see it's a different spirit. The spirit that's manifesting looks just like what the pagans claim. I have talked to many NAR person, and I have been told that I am too self-controlled to let God work in my life, and that the reason I don't have these manifestations is because I'm too self-controlled and I need to let go and lose control to allow God to take over and work. But God's bigger than that. If God wants to do something in my life, and boy, did I want experience. When I was listening to Todd White years ago, when I was listening to these people and trying to figure out what in the world being a Christian looked like what is the Christian life supposed to be? I wanted all of the things. I wanted all of the experiences. I wanted all of the encounters. I wanted all of the gifts. I wanted to be able to do all these things. And I wasn't willing to go beyond Scripture. I wasn't willing to step beyond what God says to be true in order to get that. And thankfully, God pulled me out of all of that. He showed me that it was all hogwash. You know, it was partly because of people like this and the crazy things that they said and how it did not line up to Scripture. The Holy Spirit definitely used the fact that it didn't line up to Scripture, and seeing them twist Scripture is what brought me out of listening to any of them. Though I'm glad I didn't get any more caught up than I did in their teachings, because it would have been worse for sure. We have people like Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Paula White, Creflo Dollar, who say that we are little gods, which is what Eastern religions, Mormonism and the New Age teaches. Benny Hinn says that God is actually 9 different beings. He also has said a host of wrong prophecies. Yet he is looked at as one who has the Holy Spirit. Satanism, with its occult practices and manifestations, is based on being your own God and having power with signs and wonders also. Mormonism has all of the same manifestations and says you can become a god. It's all about power. It's all about you being in control of your life. And Christianity says we're not. We're not in control of our life. God is. God's in control of everything. He is the sovereign one. But people don't like somebody else to be in control. They want to be in control. Newsflash, we're not in control. Kenneth Copeland says that he can control the weather and sickness. The weather and sickness control is blasphemous because only God can control those. He said he blew COVID-19 away, so according to him, it should be gone. I mean, in the Bible, when God controls sickness, when he heals people, that was a sign to show that he was God. When Jesus controls the weather, that was a sign that he was God. That is something that's unique to him because he is God. The disciples, they were able to do these things because it was establishing who they were under. They got special treatment from God because they established the church. The foundation is on the apostles and prophets. And that's past tense. That's not now. We're not reestablishing or continuing to grow our foundation. Our foundation has been established. We don't need more foundation. We need to look at what the foundation is and follow it. You know, we need to be founded on our foundation. Kenneth Copeland said he blew COVID-19 away, so according to him, it should be gone. He also does the whole holy laughter and drunk in the spirit thing, where people laugh or, you know, can't talk well, act like they're drunk. He will walk through a crowd and give the holy laughter to people, impart it on them. He has said that God is the biggest failure in the Bible because creation didn't go as he planned. Did it? Did it really not go as he planned? I wasn't aware of that. I don't know what God he is talking about, but it isn't the God of the Bible. This is the spirit going through some places. It mimics the fruit of the flesh or what demonic possession looks like. If you watched the last episode, you heard me mention a few times that with a Kundalini awakening, people talk about feeling like there's electricity flowing through them. In fact, I said I wanted you to remember that. And hopefully you watched that episode. If you didn't, some of this might not make as much sense, but if you go back and watch that, you will understand a little bit more of what I'm talking about. In fact, I established the yoga episodes and the first Kundalini just to be able to get to this one because you need to understand where it's coming from. Todd White says Kenneth Copeland is his spiritual father. He said he went to a Benny Hinn meeting and was singing in the spirit, and electricity went down his hands, up his arm, and numbed his mouth. He said he felt like he was plugged into a light socket. He said Benny Hinn looked at him and gestured towards him and said, "Jesus," and it knocked the catchers next to him 3 feet in the air and 10 feet back, knocking him down on the ground. And if you don't know, Benny Hinn has catchers so that when he gestures towards people and they fall over, they can get caught. If you keep your eyes open to what's being said, you'll start to see the same heresy repackaged and distributed among them, and also the people in other religions claiming the same thing. When you see the different people and you see who they follow, you can understand better what they believe because these are the people they're listening to. There was another video of Todd White where he says he keeps thinking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. He was at a Randy Clark healing meeting, and he says he starts getting really hot, and Randy says to stand up. And he says, "The Lord says it's right now, more Lord." Todd says that this thing hit me and gripped me and caused me to be electrified in the fetal position on the floor, screaming like a baby. Screaming help. Randy said, "You won't die. More, Lord. He said he was screaming, make it stop, I'm going to die. Does that sound like what we have seen as what the Holy Spirit looks like in the Bible, or what we're told about as fruit of the Spirit, you know, fruit of having the Holy Spirit in you? No. Benny Hinn, in one video, is standing there amongst people, laying all over the stage, and tells a couple of his catchers to pick up a young boy from the ground. The boy is shaking, and Benny says, what do you feel on you? The boy says, a shock. Benny says, that is the electricity of the Spirit, and yells, electrocute him, shoving the boy to the ground. I mean, when you watch it, it's just shocking. And I don't mean that as a pun. I mean, these people, when you see these things, it is atrocious. And it's sickening. And it doesn't look anything of what we're told who to be and how to be a Christian in Scripture. Bill Johnson says in an interview with Sid Roth, I was actually embarrassed. I felt my face go red. And the reason was I had no control of my limbs. They shot out with electricity, like 1,000 volts of electricity. I couldn't control my arms. If I clenched my fists, I would try to get control. Then my legs would become more violent. Sid Roth says that happened to him, but he always had control, and asks him, are you telling me you tried to stop? Bill says, I didn't know what was happening at first. In the first few moments, I didn't know what was happening, and I tried to regain control of my body, because it's not normal to not have control of your body, and I couldn't control it. I would fight it, not knowing I was fighting the Lord, and I would try to get control. He said a couple of days later, it spread to his wife. He described it as a violent encounter. I encourage you, if you wonder if these could be holy, okay, would the Holy Spirit do that? Would he look like that? Remember that God tells us he's going to equip us. He's going to show us in Scripture. Scripture shows us and teaches us how to be able to detect truth from false. Okay? We can detect the real thing from the false thing. If we can do that, and we look at the encounters with the Holy Spirit that people had, and we look at the encounters with the demonic, I really encourage you to go look and just see what experiences these people had and what it looked like, because if we look at that, we can see this is true and this is not true. You know, the Holy Spirit will absolutely guide us and show us, but we have to be willing to call a spade a spade. We have to be willing to say this experience was not of God, and put truth above fiction, you know, put God above self. So how is that the Holy Spirit? Does that look at all like what we see in the Bible of the Holy Spirit? Remember when I told you to think about the people being electrified, that people equate it with the Kundalini? It's the same thing. It looks like the exact same spirit. The same encounters, the same experiences. They all use the same verbiage. They all talk about the same feeling, all of it. There are countless videos of people who are manifesting what they call the Kundalini, who have the same manifestations. The jerking and twitching, the rolling on the floor screaming, barking like a dog, getting knocked over. These violent encounters are commonplace amongst New Agers and people who are in other religions. This is how they talk about being baptized by fire. The electrocuting, the feeling like you're going to die. This is all things that they talk about when they talk about that. Sometimes they talk about it like they literally feel like they're being burned alive. At Bethel, they do something called fire tunnels. And when you see it, it's a bunch of kids on the floor laughing and jerking. They look drunk. They look stupefied. Some of them look like they're like, why am I here? We're supposed to be worshiping God as he has shown us in the Bible. And this isn't that. The Bible teaches us to worship him with reverence. We are to have self-control. This is about worshiping him. This isn't about our feelings, our experience, our emotions. We're to have self-control. That's literally a fruit of having the Holy Spirit. These groups keep manifesting something and it looks like demons, yet they call it holy. That's blasphemous. There are other leaders who jokingly, while they're acting drunk in the spirit, call themselves the Kundalini Kids. If you want to look it up, look up the Kundalini Kids and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And they joke about it being the Kundalini, the spirit that goes with them. They call it a false light, which, how telling is that, right? Is that like a Freudian slip? Would a man of God pretend or joke about being demon-possessed? I think not. Not like that, anyways. John MacArthur, when talking about being slain in the spirit, said, "The only people who were ever slain in the spirit were unbelievers, who were knocked over by the power of God." I have to say that if the Holy Spirit manifests for the good of the saints, what good is it to knock people over? What good is it to take control away? To bring about confusion to others? If we know God is not the God of confusion, why would he do this? There are even rules to speaking in tongues, so that no one comes in and thinks the group is possessed or drunk. These people, however, don't care about God's boundaries and what his established order is, it seems. That's why they say, don't put God in a box. You know? Why would God cause people to look drunk and at the same time tell them, don't get drunk? Being drunk's an abomination. Keep sober-minded. Be in control of yourself, right? Yet I'm going to completely take control away from you? I mean, that's just not how it works. 1 Corinthians 14:26 through 33 says, "What is the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, it should be by two or at the most three, and each in turn, and one must interpret. But if there's no interpreter, he must keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others pass judgment. But if a revelation is made to another who is seated, the first one must keep silent." See, there's rules. "For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all may be exhorted, and the spirits of prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." I mean, we see right there that God wants things orderly. I mean, he's telling us there's orderly, you know, there's rules to this. You need to not act like you're crazy, not act like you're drunk. Let's keep it not confusing, right? It says, "Let two or three prophets speak and let the others pass judgment," meaning we are to judge and we're supposed to be judging prophecy or what people are calling prophecy. So much for not touching God's anointed, right? We are to judge what people say about God and his word. And we're supposed to weigh it carefully. People aren't above reproach. I don't care who you are in this world. You're not above reproach. I was looking at this site and it had a page called Truth or Tradition. It says, "We know that in nearly every biblical record where someone fell down in the presence of God, the Lord or an angel, he fell on his face, which is a sign of respect. He was not unconscious. He could still hear or see and was told to get up before the angel would give the message. According to biblical evidence, God seems considerably more interested in getting people to stand up and receive his word and his blessings than he is in knocking them down and rendering them semi-conscious or unable to easily communicate. There is also no biblical evidence of a minister of the Lord knocking people down under power." I mean, I'm just going to keep going on, I guess. This is why I say there's another spirit in the church. There are people who mimic drinking, smoking, snorting, and injecting the Holy Spirit. You heard me correctly. Then they act high and drunk. John Crowder is one of them. He talks about God's heavy drunken glory and does all of these manifestations to a pretty crazy degree. And unfortunately, you look at these people and part of the time they can tell you truth. I mean, they're very knowledgeable. And then they twist it with these weird things that they come up with and that other people have passed down, I guess. You know, the different people they've listened to, they've learned it from. And so they take truth and then they completely muddy it. They completely disgrace it with their teaching. And it, you have to look at, okay, well, just because they can say this truth right here, as soon as they deviate from what God says is true and they start teaching this disgusting things that they're teaching, we need to throw them out. We need to mark and avoid them. Like, they can't be listened to anymore. You can't trust that. And you just can't trust that. This isn't the Holy Spirit. What comes from being indwelt with the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, and gentleness. Looking at what these people do next to Scripture really makes you wonder why anyone would believe it's holy. And most people probably don't either know Scripture well enough or don't hold it as the highest authority. Unfortunately, people tend to not study to show themselves approved by God. They don't study to know who He is and what He looks like. Todd Bentley says the Holy Spirit told him to kick an old lady in the face with his biker boot to heal her. He does the holy laughter and he shakes and he twitches. See Peter Wagner and Bill Johnson, Cheon, among others, anointed Todd Bentley and said he is a great apostle. A lot of these people won't call themselves, they say they're not part of the new apostolic reformation, yet see Peter Wagner, who is one of their generals, he is who coined the term because he started talking about the new age of the apostle. So how apostles were being reestablished in the church. And he is the one who first started talking about the new apostolic reformation. So for all these people who say don't call them that because they don't call themselves that, I don't have to call myself a woman, and yet I'm a woman. So I don't have to call myself a lot of things, and I am. You can't just say I'm not part of that and be part of it. So these people, Bill Johnson, Cheon, C. Peter Wagner, they anointed Todd Bentley and said he is a great apostle. There are people that are said to be Holy Spirit filled. These people are said to be Holy Spirit filled. This is one of their mentors. And another one of their mentors, his name is Smith Wigglesworth, and he was known for his abuse while healing, well, you know, quote unquote, healing people. In one case, he threw a baby against a wall, and the baby died shortly after that. This is something that you can research. You can find it. These people are proud of what they do. And they tell people over and over again, you know, this is something that they talk about a lot and they boast about it. And it's disgusting. This is the spirit that's manifesting that makes me question, what in the world are people thinking? Why are they doing this? There are really too many of them to talk about. This is just a drop in the bucket. It really is. Yet this is supposed to be the same spirit that warned us to test every spirit. The same one that's not a God of confusion. The same one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is a different spirit. A spirit that boasts and takes glory for itself. That looks to self for answers and says that God told them. One that mocks the people of God. In 1 Corinthians 14, it talks about the rules for speaking in tongues, yet people completely ignore them. And they say, that's not my experience. I mean, just reading all of chapter 14, it says if we speak in tongues, we are to do it with an interpreter. And if you don't have one, be quiet. People aren't supposed to be all prophesying at the same time or speaking in tongues together. There should be order. And you got to think, if there's order to that, and we already know what we know about Old Testament, you know, the rules for being a prophet or how to be able to tell what a prophet is or what a prophet isn't, why would people say that it's okay? How much more confusing would it be for the people who are supposedly of God, supposedly speaking for God, and yet they get all these things wrong? God doesn't get things wrong. And why would they have to go back and change things? And it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't help anyone. And in fact, it'll make you look crazy. When you do these things, when you follow these things, it's just, it's utter craziness. This implies that by everyone speaking in tongues, it will actually help some reject the faith instead of embracing it. The chaos puts people off. It pushes them away from God. How much more when people are crowing like a rooster or on all fours like a dog? The rebellion against what the Bible clearly states is one fruit by which we can see that it's a different spirit. Hillsong had a church service. It was a Christmas service. And they were depicting Hindu gods. It was just beyond me. It has nothing to do with Jesus. But for some reason, they found it okay to do a Hindu god worship dance. First Corinthians 10:14-24 says, "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we blessed a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We're not stronger than he, are we? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own good, but that of his neighbor." A believer cannot be demon-possessed. So, are these people actually Christians? We can open ourselves up for demonic oppression when we do things that call on them or open ourselves up, which we shouldn't be doing that as a believer. I'm not sure how you would be allowing yourself to do that if you actually love the Lord. James 4:7 says, "Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." We're safe in the Lord. If we have to worry about being demon-possessed, then where is the freedom in that? And how can we say that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Why would he, if he's not going to share his glory with another, why would he share his temple with another? James says we need to submit to God and resist the devil, but what if we won't submit to God or resist the devil? Can we then call ourselves followers of God? We shouldn't partake in things that call on demons or even talk to them. Yet people who want to awaken their kundalini are doing these things for that reason, and strangely enough, so are people that are manifesting in the same way, yet calling it the Holy Spirit. Generally, they say it's Holy Spirit, though, which, you know, takes the personal quality from him. They act like he's more of a force. We, as I have said before, don't need to call the Holy Spirit down. Ask him to come, tell him to come into us, because as a believer, we already have him. Some people say that the Kundalini is simply the energy of your soul, but in the roots, it is said to be a goddess energy or your divine energy. I'm not divine. I do not have divine energy. I'm not a goddess, nor do I have a serpent spirit or a spirit energy curled inside me. I don't call on spirits to fill me because I'm already filled with the Holy Spirit. We have a problem today in the Christian circle with people who are complacent in their faith, apathetic Christians. They don't feel they need to understand, so they don't dig in, though the Bible tells us that we are supposed to, and we are supposed to continuously be in the Word. It washes over us, it sanctifies us, it teaches us, it guides us. You know, the Holy Spirit uses it in our lives, and it's not something we can ever exhaust. They think that it is good enough to just rely on the Spirit to tell us what is okay and what is not. Yet, when they miss entirely the dangers of things, they still aren't provoked to dig deeper. They still rely on their feelings to guide them, and they still don't seek to know the truth. They just want to instantly know it. But that's not how it works. We're supposed to be shaping our conscience by the Word. The Word shapes us. It changes us into who we are supposed to be. It's not an instantaneous, magical thing that we know all the things and we know exactly what we're supposed to do all the time. We're, in relying on God, we're also supposed to want to know Him. And in wanting to know Him, we need to dig into His Word so that we can treasure it in our heart and we can speak it to other people and we can share the gospel and share the Word with other people. I think God wants us to work to know Him. He wants us to have to put effort in to understand Him. And it takes a conscious effort to continuously be seeking Him and seeking who He is and who He wants us to be. In New Age style Kundalini, they see it as a part of your ego self, as your soul, your essence, your God inside you. But in Hinduism, it's an awakening of an external energy, a goddess that's awakened and brought in. It's interesting, though, because when I listen to people talk about their Kundalini awakening, no matter who it is, it always sounds like possession. Even the people who say it's already in you, you just awaken it, which is just weird all in and of itself. When they describe it, it always sounds like an external force taking over. As a Christian, looking at it either way, it's not of God, because God has shown Himself, and this isn't what He looks like. In no place in the Bible does God take the form of a serpent, nor does He act contrary to His nature. We know that those who are demon-possessed act just like this, and just as the demon-possessed man who gnashed himself at the tomb in Mark 5, as soon as he was freed from the demon, he was clothed and in his right mind, meaning he was then acting calm and in control of himself. God can't be the Kundalini, as some say. You can't awaken Him. He doesn't sleep. We can bow to God of all creation and submit to Him, but we can't awaken Him within ourselves. He's not just there, naturally, inside of us. A lot of people coming out of the same hyper-charismatic churches are using occult practices, like numerology, tarot cards, forms of the Ouija board, the Enneagram, yoga, astrology, and all kinds of dangerous practices, saying that it's okay because they say the name of Jesus. They say they are safe because of the power of Jesus, but that's not how it works. Jesus doesn't bless occult practices, and He doesn't protect us so we can do them. Ephesians 5:11-14 says, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" When we look at the practices they're doing and the spirit that is manifesting, we can see they don't line up with what God says His Spirit looks like. The Holy Spirit manifests in 9 ways in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God, who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. He's not a force. He's a person. He does as he pleases. The Holy Spirit manifests for the common good. He gives us gifts to be used for the building up of the church. These aren't chaotic, they aren't out of control, and they are for the good of others, not self-gratification. They don't look like demon possession. 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, by his craftiness your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully." When it says, "or receive a different spirit," means there was a different spirit visible in the church then, and also a different gospel. But it says, "you bear this beautifully," like people were excusing it and putting up with it. Unfortunately, so much these days, the other God is a different Jesus, one that looks nothing like who the Bible revealed. Most often than not, it is the nicer-than-Jesus Jesus, the one people say would never judge or say anything that could hurt someone's feelings. We have allowed so much darkness to taint truth. It's affecting what people allow, disregarding truth and accepting lies, or putting up with them. Things like Harry Potter, which is witchcraft, being equated to biblical truth, is just like Jen Johnson equating the Holy Spirit to a genie. It's blasphemous. God can work through anything, but nothing tainted should be equated with God. Our view of him should remain pure, and we shouldn't be allowing what God calls an abomination to be said to be a story about him. Just because you can find some kind of truth in it doesn't mean it's acceptable. It's truth that's been dragged through a dung heap. So many stories that praise magic and act like it's godly have been accepted, and it just leads to accepting more magic and witchcraft and calling it good. And witchcraft is on the rise right now, and I'm not surprised with the things that aren't just accepted by pagans, people who don't profess to be Christians, but by Christians themselves. There really is no wonder why we're seeing the manifestations being called holy, and so many believers confused about if it is or not. We need to get back to a pure view of Scripture and stop being so stained by the world. We see this manifesting in the church. Unfortunately, to some degree, I think the New Age has gotten into most all the churches. It's crazy how much Bible-believing Christians also believe completely unbiblical New Age ideas, how much they have allowed the world to seep in and taint their view. But when we do things like equating wizards and witchcraft to biblical truth, it isn't surprising. You know, we have so many Christians who play around with astrology and stuff like that, and they don't find anything wrong with it because, you know, they're just playing. They're not serious, but it's witchcraft. We're so immersed in the world around us that we adapt the things that they do and say without thinking about it. That's why God wanted Israel to stay pure and stay away from the people around them in the Old Testament, well, part of it. He didn't want them tainted, following after other gods and believing lies. Doing research for this, I was brought to tears. My heart was so heavy with the weight of watching what I could only describe as looking like, sounding like, and acting like demonic possession. It's the world deeming good evil and evil good, and the church going along with it, not willing to stand up and say, "No, that's not okay." If we are freed from the bondage of sin and death upon salvation, what kind of freedom also has a believer needing deliverance from a demon? Matthew 12:43-45 says, "Now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds it unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself. And they go in and live there. And the last state of the man becomes worse than the first. This is the way it will also be with this evil generation. When one is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the unclean spirits have already gone out. Both will not take up residence at the same time. We don't see demons being cast out of every believer in the Bible, and it equips us for life. When we are born again, we are freed. We don't need someone to free us again. When God Himself already did that. He already paid for us. We're His. He owns us. We're His slave. You know, we are His bond servants. I'm pretty sure God has more power than any human or any demon, since they are, you know, made by Him. Just saying. So many of the people in these churches end up leaving it altogether. They end up atheists or Wiccan or New Age. All they are doing is jumping from one emotion-filled striving to another. People who are not filled with the Holy Spirit can be possessed, and I think that's where this manifestation is coming from, a demonic manifestation. The Old Testament says over and over, do not do as the pagans do, do not adopt their ways, and do not worship me like they worship their gods. So why do I say spirits in the church? I think we've kind of covered that, haven't we? I think the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation group, among with the hyper-charismatic groups, name it and claim it, word of faith, prosperity gospel people, and so forth, which kind of have smushed together into this vat, you know, they are dealing readily enough with a different Jesus and with a different gospel and a different spirit. I believe that they're not part of God's church, and I'm not saying every single one of them, because I think that there's people caught up in it that are real believers, and I don't think they will end up staying there, because God's not going to allow them to stay there. I believe that they are not part of God's church, at least for the most part, but they are working for Satan, whether they know it or not. To say the name of Jesus doesn't make you a Christian. I believe there are some confused Christians in there who don't know any better, but genuinely love Jesus. The ones who know what their Bible says, but maybe not well enough to discern rightly. This is part of why we need to be in Scripture, part of why Bible reading is so hugely important, because then you can spot the fake if you know what the truth is better. We see people seek after the gifts and experience over God and sanctification. It's almost as if they worship the experience over God. And I say almost, it's kind of like they worship the experience over God. They want to boast and they want to feel powerful, and it shows when they speak. In the New Age, people say that when they did certain things, they just knew they were connecting with the divine. Mormons say that. Hindus say that. How do we judge truth and deception? We aren't to be driven by our emotions, and just because it makes you feel good doesn't mean it's from God. All of this is to show you that the other spirit is simply being called the Kundalini, that there's another spirit in the church, and it's manifesting and showing its true colors. There is a way to see if someone or something is from God, but you have to seek Scripture, and you have to hold it as your highest authority. Not feeling, not experience, not how much you like that person, you know, not how many people follow them or how big their church is. You can't even look at, you know, how much they give or the quote-unquote good things they do, because that isn't necessarily the fruit. What they say about God and His word is the fruit of if they are God's people or not. I pray you get into the word and you search it if you're not already. And if you are, just diligently keep searching. Don't grow weary, you know, keep in the race and fight a good fight. Know what it says and study it. Study. It's different than just reading it, you know, study things. Bury it in your heart and live by it. Consult God. Ask Him to give you wisdom and clarity, because He will. I pray that this was helpful. Until next time, be blessed.